Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27. If you enjoy the singing, say amen this morning. If you enjoy the Sunday school lesson, say amen. I want to say to our visitors, I hate you can't sit together with the family's invited you. I'm just glad you got a place to sit. Thank God for it. We would build on, but on Sunday night, I don't want to preach to an empty church. Somebody say amen right there. We still got about 70 seats behind me. Everybody just scared to get there. Amen. That balcony's no place to be. I mean, that's awful. Amen. There's bodyguards up there, though. Thank God. It's a machine gun nest you don't know nothing about. Amen. Brother Marlon, you got some grenades with you this morning, ain't you, brother? Amen. Matthew 27, so good to see you. The Bible said in verse number 11, and Jesus stood before the governor. Aren't you glad we serve somebody that knows how to stand? He said, and the governor asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said to him, thou sayest. In other words, he said, there's enough said. He said, you know I'm king. I want to say, thank God. Whoo! Oh, Lord. I'm glad He's my King. The Bible said when He was accused of the chief priest and elder, religious people ain't never liked Jesus. They don't like anybody that loves Jesus. Matter of fact, most churches in America, they just got a good crop of religion this morning. But, honey, if you purpose in your heart to worship Jesus, everybody ain't going to be for you. Pilate said to him, hearest thou not how many things they witness against you? He said, ain't you heard how they talking about you? He answered him, never a word. Wish I could get like that. I wish when people talked about me, I could just hush. Am I talking to anybody this morning? So the Bible said, verse 15, now, at that feast, the governor was wont to release on the people a prisoner whom they would. They had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said to them, whom will you that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, things fixing to pick up now. Amen. A wife has a way to getting through. He's fixing to pick the phone up. Amen. He said this, hath thou nothing to do with that just man? For I've suffered many things this day in a dream because of. Ain't it amazing how God can get into bed with you? I'm glad he got into bed with me. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. Now, while this was going on, there was an undercurrent going on. They went out through and said, now listen, we want to tell you who to vote for. Reminds me of a Baptist election day. Oh, Lord, I hate that rabbit jumped up. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered, said to him, whether the twain will you that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all said to him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, what evil hath he done? They cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather atonement was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I'm innocent of the blood of this just person. See to it. Honey, you can wash your hands in all the water of every sea God ever breathed. You'll never wash your hands clean of handling the blood of Jesus in a wrong way. The Bible said, then answered all the people, His blood be on us and on our children. Lord Jesus, they know nothing what they just said. Matter of fact, this country's preaching that same kind of sermon this morning. Away with Jesus and let His blood be on us and our children. We shaking our fists in the face of God. And it's a payday coming someday. Verse 26, what we'll preach out of this morning. Then released He Barabbas unto them. And when He had scourged Jesus, He delivered Him to be crucified. Thank you for standing this morning of honoring the reading of the Word of God. The Bible said in verse 26, then released He Barabbas unto them. And when He had scourged Jesus, He delivered Him to be crucified. I want to preach on this simple Bible thought this morning. On Jesus took my place. Jesus took my place. Now I want you to notice, first of all, you'll find that there was a Bible character in verse 16. His name was a notable prisoner called Barabbas. I want to say, first of all, we see in our Bible a sinner condemned. The Bible said he was a prisoner. I can relate a lot to Barabbas because I was in his place. I was a prisoner condemned. I've said a lot of times I really wished I didn't have the testimony of a prodigal. I don't want to gloat in where I've been and the bad things I've done. I just want to gloat on one day I was in a prison house and Jesus come my way and took the shackles off of me and set me free by the good grace of God. And I remember what an old preacher told me one day, Brother Ricky. He said, that shouting's going to leave you and that crying's going to leave you. But, oh honey, if you've ever been where Barabbas has been, if you've ever been where this preacher's been, thank God my shout ain't gone this morning. I know Jesus took my place. Now we see a sinner condemned. You'll notice, first of all, his life was condemned in verse 18. The Bible said, for he knew that for envy they had delivered him. Now, his life is condemned. He's a prisoner. In John's Gospel, chapter number 3, about a sinner condemned, let's look at what the Bible says there today. In John 3, in verse number 17. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He's saying Jesus did not come to condemn the world, but He came to save the world. We see a life condemned. Verse 18, he that believeth on Him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now a sinner condemned. Can I tell you, the Word of God has us all condemned. You say, preacher, you don't understand. I don't tell lies. Well, you just lied right there. Somebody say amen. You say, well, preacher, I'm a good person. Well, you just lied right there. The Bible says there's none good. No, not one. My goodness, his life was condemned. Jesus said that your life is condemned already just because you're living. You see, not only is there a life condemned, or the life that condemned us, but notice also our love condemns us. You know something? It's not natural that you love the things of God. That's why this flesh don't like coming to church. I guarantee you, nobody would have had a place to sit down this morning if it was 80 degrees and a new year and the sun was shining and everything was great. But this flesh, for some reason, loves to watch weather. It's amazing how people go to the blowout sale at Walmart on Black Friday but they can't find enough God in them to get them to church on Sunday. Somebody say amen right there. I mean, it's just like we live in the mule and buggy days, honey. You ain't had to go out in the barn and saddle up and bridle a mule and get the house of God this. While we're so blessed, we had a car and we had a heater in it and we had clothes to put on and we ought to bless His name. We ought to put our sorry backside in the house of God every chance we get because He loves us today, friend. Now, our love condemned us. This flesh don't like the things of God. Brother Troy got saved here a few years ago. He said this was the loudest place he had ever been. He said it's too loud. Amen. Too much going on. Now it's probably too loud for you this morning, but honey, if you'll get in the meeting, you may get loud too. I like what my old preacher said. He was raised a Methodist and he'd never been around no shouting or no loud preaching. Said an old man of God come to his church to run a revival. He said on Monday night he noticed that the preacher got stirred up and people was a-looking and they began to raise up their hands. He said it looked pretty good to him. So he looked around to be sure nobody was watching. And so he raised his hand and put it down. He said on Tuesday night, he said that old preacher got stirred up again. He said he looked around and he got his hand right here and put it back down. He said Wednesday night it got so good, he stuck it up and he done that one time. He said on Thursday night, he got his hand up and he heard somebody go to shouting and hollering. He said he come to himself and it was him. Can I tell you this morning, friend, he's worthy of our praise. And the flesh don't like church. The flesh don't like preaching. So the love that we had condemned us this morning. We love the world. Woo, that world's something, ain't it? Internet, let's get on there and shop. Let's get on there and buy things we can't afford. Let's surf the web and see what kind of trouble our flesh can get us into. Oh, let's go and let's pass through places we know we're not supposed to go because our flesh loves sin. You better watch your flesh. Your flesh don't love God. And so here we say our life was condemned and then our love condemned us. Verse 19, this is the condemnation. That light's come into the world. And men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Brother Mike said he come here last night and prayed and said he heard things in the dark. I don't like the dark. Brother Lindsay said he's still scared of the dark. Somebody say amen right there. One of the little boys in the church spent the night with me last night. He said, preacher, I don't want to sleep back there. It's too dark in here. I said, son, I'll cut the lights on. Thank God for lights in the dark. But Jesus said, you're condemned already because you love the dark. It ain't the dark bothers me. It's stuff in the dark. I don't like the dark. But if somebody send me out the barn about 1 o'clock, I'm toting me a flashlight and a gun. Somebody say amen right there. I mean, you can still be saved and tote a gun. Amen. I mean, I don't like them boogers and them things hiding behind them trees. Ain't it amazing how stuff looks real in the dark? We got a church member. We ought to take him out and give him a good Christian whipping after church. I won't tell you who it is because I know you do it. I come in the church house one morning through the week and they knowed I was coming, Brother Martin. They laid down in these pews. I got about right there and they jumped up and said, boo. I said, hallelujah, glory. What do you say? I don't like the darkest morning. No, no, no. I don't like the things in the dark. Man, I had me a Holy Ghost fit. I went to doing this stuff. Lord God, notice when stuff takes me by surprise, they ain't saved. Oh, but he said our love had condemned us. Isn't it amazing? The reason we love Christ is because He first loved us. If you saved this morning, it's because He first loved you. Our love had condemned us. Oh, how we love the world. Oh, isn't it amazing how the world pulls on us, folks? Young couples, as your pastor, watch this world. There's nothing in the world good for you. Jesus said, love not the world. Come out from among them and be ye separate.
We ought to be a light in a dark world. A sinner condemned. We see the life condemned us and our love had condemned us. But I want to tell you, the law condemned us. In Galatians chapter number 3 over in your Bible, verse number 22, the Bible said these words, "But the Scripture hath concluded." He said, now we've come to a conclusion in Galatians 3 and 22. That the promise by faith, he said, of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. He said, the Scripture hath concluded all under sin. Did you know when you were born? I've noticed something about my grandbaby. We ain't got to teach her to act ugly. You got to spank her when she acts ugly. Some of you ought to try that out and quit that time out business. Amen. It'd help folks you're sitting by in a church house. Somebody say amen right there. Don't have to teach her to be ugly. She's done found out what no is. I reached to grab her. No! You want this? No! You see, come to a conclusion by the Bible, we're all under sin. You know something? Because we sin, that don't make us sinners. The reason we're sinners is because we sin.
Amen.
There's none good. No, not. That's why so many people die and go to hell. They don't see the need of Christ. Good moral people. The Bible said He's come to a conclusion. We're all under sin. And you know, that would help a congregation like this morning to realize the people beside you are sinners. Some saved, some not saved. And you better not trust nothing about you except the Holy Ghost that lives in you. Sinners. You know, it takes the grace of God to keep a church like this together. The grace of God. I mean, can I go and tell you this morning, I don't care if you're a member or you're a visitor, you ain't special. You think just because you walked in here we owe you something this morning? You think just because you come to church God owes you something? Honey, God don't owe us nothing. By grace are we saved. Ain't you glad He didn't give us what we deserve?
Amen.
You say, Lord, I'm going to make You bless me because I'm going to come.
Yeah.
Ain't the way it works.
Right.
We ought to come because we love Him.
Yeah.
Ain't no biggins, ain't no little. Well, preacher, you ain't looked out and seen what I'm driving.
Yeah.
I don't care what you're driving.
Amen.
I don't care what you rode in here on. I don't care what you're wearing. I'm just glad you're here. I'm just glad you decided to come get some preaching instead of some TV and football games today. Boy, our life, it condemned us. Our love condemned. That law condemned. You know why Barabbas is fixing to be put to death? Because the law condemned it. He got caught. Can I tell you that God's law has not changed? Somebody asked me this week, said, I don't believe that God would send me to hell. He don't. You send your own self to hell. He sent His Son to die for you. And for, you don't got to die and go to hell. So, preacher, I don't want to be a part of that. You better get your young'uns under it. Oh, my Lord, I'm glad Jesus took my place. There's a sinner condemned. We were all condemned sinners. But it's secondly, not only a sinner condemned, there was a sentence to be conducted in verse number 17 of that text this morning. The Bible said, then when they were gathered together, Pilate said to them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? My goodness, there was a death sentence. Can I tell you we all going to die because what Adam done in the garden? But we don't have to die twice. There is a second death, the lake of fire. Matter of fact,
this sentence that's going to be conducted. It is a death sentence. In Romans 5 and verse number 12, talking about Barabbas now, talking about you and I, there was a sentence of death that had been passed upon us. In Romans chapter number 5 this morning, the Bible said in verse number 12, He said, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered in the world, death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." It passed over this whole congregation. You know what? You're going to die, and I'm going to die. It amazes me the people that get in a vehicle and drink and drive and think about they can't die. They're bulletproof. It amazes me the people that plays with death just like they're bulletproof. I'm going to tell you something, friend. There was a sentence that had to be conducted, and there was a death sentence. You know, I told you that we don't have to die twice. The Bible teaches of a second death. It's found over in the book of Revelation, chapter number 20 and verse 13. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. Who's that? Those that have died. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. Oh, ain't that amazing? Them that's died and went to hell is going to be delivered up. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now thank God we that are born again don't have to die twice. Isn't that amazing? If you're born once, you die twice. If you're born twice, you die once. The Bible says you must be born again. And honey, this old flesh is going to drop down, but this spirit's going to live forever. He said, you, there's a death sentence been passed on every person in this country. We're going to die. Some's going to die twice. I'm going to tell you something, friend. There is a place worse than hell this morning. And you better let your children know about it. It's okay to teach them to play ball, but honey, church is priority where the Bible's preached. You better be teaching your children there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. You get to heaven, he's not going to applaud you for that you taught him to play ball. You better get them in a gospel-preaching church. Second death. There was a sentence of death. There was a sentence to be conducted. It was a death sentence. And then secondly, it was a dreadful sentence. In Hebrews 2 and 14, could you imagine Barabbas in that jail cell knowing that the Bible says that there was a sentence going to be carried out and he was fixing to go to a cruel cross and be crucified himself? The Bible said Barabbas was a thief and a robber. And my goodness, here we find there's a dreadful sentence. Men are scared to die. Hebrews 2 and verse number 14. Why, sure, it's a fear of death. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. Through death he might destroy them that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. I want to say this morning on this sentence conducted, a death sentence, but a dreadful sentence. I'm not scared to die. I don't want to go today. But I'm not scared. Death don't scare me. I know my sins are gone. The Bible talks about a rest to the people. Have you ever noticed people, the saints of God about to cross the river that's on their deathbed, got a smile on their face? How in the world can somebody die like that? They know their sins are gone. I'm going to tell you some of the saddest people I've ever been around in the funeral home is those that know not Christ. Those not in a local church. I've been called out to minister to people who knew nothing about God, nothing about Jesus. Want me to stand above them and preach their beloved ones into heaven? Honey, you must be born again. Born again. Not go to church. Born again. Not baptized. Born again. This is one of the best churches in America, honey. You can belong to it and die and go to hell and you see it. You must be born again.
Muslims say there, brothers and sisters, honey, we are not even creek kin to them people. You bypass Christ, hell will be your home. They say Christ was a good man. He's more than that. He's God-man this morning.
Death sentence, a dreaded sentence. Oh, aren't you glad there's a rest for the people of God? In Hebrews chapter number 4, look at it. Hebrews chapter number 4, verse number 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Oh, I've seen those saints of God, Brother Wayne, smile and close their eyes and cross out across the river. Lord Jesus, what a blessing. I've heard people dying on their deathbed screaming. Oh, I'm glad there is a rest for the people of God. There's a death sentence. It's a dreadful sentence. And then those that are lost, it's a depressing sentence. Brother Tim, I'm thinking about you when I go to this verse in Ephesians 2 and verse number 12. Watch this now. We're going to be closing down. Ephesians 2 and verse number 12. Bible said, verse 11, remember that ye've been in times past Gentiles in the flesh who are called uncircumcision, but that which is called the circumcision of the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise. Here it is. And having no hope and without God in this world. Oh, Lord, how does people make it? But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh, are near, are ready by the blood of Christ. Oh, it's not a depressing sentence to those of us that are saved. 1 Thessalonians 4, my goodness, what an impactful verse. Talking about a depressing sentence. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 and verse 13. Here Paul's teaching to that church about the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and to meet the Lord in there, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Here it is. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. He goes on and says in verse 13, I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. You may be here today and have no hope. I can tell you how to get hope. That's Jesus. Well, the Lord Jesus will give you hope beyond the grave. Do you remember when Lazarus died, Mary and Martha sent after Christ, John chapter 4? You remember, said, Lord, why didn't you come? Said, our brother's sick. Why'd you stay 2 days in the same place where you was? I love what he turned around and told old Thomas. He said, I go to wake my friend out of his sleep. Thank God, Brother Ricky. If he's your friend on this side of the grave, honey, he'll be your friend on the other side of the grave. You can trust Christ with your life this morning. Oh, Lord, he took my place. So this is what I want to share with you. Not only was there a sentence that had to be conducted. Not only was they a sinner that was condemned, but I'm glad in verse 17, there was a Savior close by. What are you saying, preacher? Look what he said. When they were gathered together, Pilate said to them, will ye that I release unto you Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? Can I tell you, the world hadn't changed. They still picking Barabbas today. There is no neutral ground. Somebody said, well, you don't make a decision for Christ. Hogwash. There is no neutral ground. You've got to make a decision. Are you going to serve Him or not serve Him? You're going to make a decision. Now watch your Bible. Not only a sinner condemned, a sentence conducted, but thank God there's a Savior close by. He said in verse 17, will you have Barabbas or Jesus? They said, give us Barabbas. In verse 22, boy, this thing jumps off my Bible to me. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? What are you going to do with Him? He didn't know what he was going to do with Him. And can I tell you today, that's not changed in our life. What are we going to do with Jesus? There's no neutral ground. You either with Him or you against Him. No gray area with this. Oh, aren't you glad there was a Savior close by? And so the Bible said this, verse 26, then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. There was a Savior close by, but there was a sacrifice completed. Now this is the story. Miss Sherry, if you can, Brother Tim, you get us a number, whatever we're going to do this morning. This is what I want you to see on Jesus took our place. All of us was just like old Barabbas. We'd done things that we weren't proud of and we got caught. You know what? The law caught us just like it caught him. We was locked up in our own place. I don't know what you was locked up in, but I guarantee you this. You was locked up in a sin of prison. And so there's no doubt. You remember those two thieves that was crucified with Jesus? There was three crosses built. And did you know when them Roman soldiers was building them crosses, Jesus wasn't on their mind. Barabbas was going on that cross. Can you imagine when Barabbas was looking out of that jail cell, he looked up on that hill toward Golgotha, and there he heard them building them crosses, getting everything ready. And can you imagine that last night the sentence had been read on Barabbas? He knew he was going to be crucified to give his life for taking others. And can you imagine that last night? You know, if I had a death sentence applied to me in the morning, I've often thought, what would I be thinking about tonight? If tonight was my last night, what would I be thinking? What would I be reading? What would I be doing? No doubt he slept one of the restless nights of his life. No doubt that morning, maybe as the sun began to shine out over that hill, he heard them soldiers marching down that hall. Lord, I bet he had his head hung then. I bet he wasn't so glad of his sins then. The Bible said, beware your sins will find you out. Boy, I can just imagine as them prisoners took and they began to stick them keys in the door and make a noise. Barabbas probably walked out with his head ducked, headed to that cross. And the soldier said, hey, Barabbas, today you ain't going to believe, said somebody's took your place. So they letting you go free, boy. What? What'd you say? Yes, yeah, somebody's took your place. Said his name's Jesus. Said he does great things, miracles. He said he took my place. You mean a man I never met, he's taking my place out yonder? That cross they done got me built. That's right, they've released you, Barabbas. Woo, the cross set him free. God, ain't that amazing? The same cross that was going to condemn him set him free. The same cross that he is fixing to go to gave him life. Isn't that amazing? I don't know where they put old Barabbas, but they led Jesus and they whipped him. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They led him to Golgotha, a place called Calvary. They put him on that cross in the middle, a thief on one side and a thief on the other side. He took Barabbas' place. I just got to sit down. That thought's too big for me. Can I tell you this morning, that cross in the middle, oh, I know it was purposed by God that Jesus could only hang there. But Barabbas didn't know that. Can I tell you something you don't know this morning? But Jesus took your place. Just as he did Barabbas. Every one of us is just like Barabbas. Condemned to die. But Jesus took our place. And you're going to have to accept that. There's a young lady here Wednesday night. I got ready to leave out of my car. And one of the members came to me and said, preacher, this lady can't leave the service. Something's got to be done tonight. We went out in that front little old room there Wednesday night. She said, what do I need to do? I said, simply bow. Ask God to save you and forgive you of your sins. And she nailed because Christ took her place. Can I tell you this morning, you can bow because Christ took your place.
Does that give us any reason to gloat? Does that give us any reason to think that we become somebody? No, honey. Christ is everything. He took our place. God, how we ought to serve Him and love Him. And carry that old cross for Him that others may have life. He said that you ain't got a sorrow as others that have no hope. Have you got that hope? I'm glad He still saves old sinners. There's a Jesus that loves you that took your place. How could you imagine, Brother Tim, they walked in them old boots and stuck that key in that prison door and let that man out. He said, you ain't got to go there. There's somebody else to go in there for you. Brother Abba, I wonder what he done when they hung him up there. I wonder what Barabbas thought. Far as I know, I can't find him nowhere else. But I know Jesus took his place in my place and your place.